Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now the 0-1. Line drive left center field. Conforto and Lee coming on. Going to drop down in a base hit. Wade will score to give the Padres the lead. Third hit of the inning. Xander Bogaerts, second hit of the day. An RBI single and it's 4-3.
You know, Chris, I think I am the jinx for the Padres.
Why is that?
Tell you why. Because listening to Gwynn and Chris here, I'm Scraby. That's Chris Ello. We are here until 8 p.m. If you want to talk Padres, give us a call, 833-288-0973. You want to talk Aztecs, give us a call. Same number, 833-288-0973. So I got up to get a drink during the game, and it was still a no-hitter. Logan Webb still had his no-hitter. As soon as I get up, Xander Bogaerts gets a hit. And okay. I come and sit down. I'm like, oh, no hitter's over.
Right.
And then as soon as I leave to come here, everybody starts getting on base for the Padres. And that big inning happened. And I was told I can't ever go back to my...
You're going to be... If this is all true, then you're going to have to do a lot of driving around this year.
Yes, it is.
Every time
true.
The Padres are losing, we're going to have to send you into a car and make you go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will do that. I will do that if it makes them win. Aztecs right now are down 51-37 with 13:30 left in the second
and
half.
And they just gave up another offensive rebound. It's not that they're not trying. I mean, they're jumping for the ball. Just UConn's jumping higher for the ball.
And they're taller. And I got to say, their defense is smothering.
Yeah. And the Aztecs, their offense is clicking perfectly. This is like meeting the 72 Dolphins or the, you know, the undefeated Patriots team or your 49er teams of Montana and Young, et cetera. There was nothing you could do.
Yeah,
you know, you went out there, you played your butt off, and they beat you. That's it, pretty much all that happened.
You can't feel bad about it. You can't feel bad about it.
But, you know, if you're a competitor, you do everything you can to keep hanging in. I mean, the Aztecs are trying everything they can try, but they've met a superior opponent unless something really absurd happens over the last 13 minutes of this game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So
we're going to get to the Daily Gambit in just a second, but let's play some Xander Bogaerts from after the game. He met with the media, and he was asked about his day and how the importance of today's win will factor with the team. Does that make sense, factor with the team?
No.
How important this win is for the team?
Certainly, but these last two games, you guys have done a lot of things that you said you were going to do, you know? Move runners, be aggressive, play that kind of game. What have you thought of?
Keep it up, you know? I mean, as long as you can, at least the whole season. But yeah, it's been nice to see, you know, even from the dugout, just being able to see what we preach and actually being able to do it in the game is nothing better than we have.
Home runs are nice, but can it almost be more demoralizing to a pitcher if it's just single, 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 walk, single?
I don't pitch, but I would imagine. You know, I would imagine, man, especially when you get some bloops, you know, I feel like those are the ones that really, they turn around and be like, really piss them off, you know, so homers, I mean, the hanger pitch is supposed to happen, you know, but I feel like those are the tough pitches are the ones that I would imagine hurts them more.
When, how important is like the bounce back inning, you know, like you guys mm-hmm. had, where they take the lead and then boom? Like,
yeah, because I mean, I don't want to say you get some weird feelings, but I mean, you definitely get a little thinking on, hey, you know, like last year, like again, you know, so being able to bounce back and right away, I feel like that's a good sign that, you know, this year is different, you know, and we should forget about last year and
continue to build on what we have going on right now, because, I mean, that's a really good sign. That's a great indicator.
Love it, Chris. I love Xander Bogaerts and his attitude right now.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Seems like he's a great dude.
He's honestly always been a good interview. And, yeah, you know, he's the first Padre since 2004 to get multiple hits in each of his first three games of the season.
Really? Wow.
The last guy to do that was Mark Loretta.
Not even I guess.
2004.
Yeah.
So Tony retired in 2001.
Yes. Correct.
But Mark Loretta in 2004, that's 20 years since any Padre has had multiple hits in each of his first three games. So it's a good start. Now, Bogaerts started well last year. I don't know if you remember this, Chris.
Well,
he got on base his first 30 games of the season.
And we know what happened, Chris.
He got hurt.
No.
He didn't?
Juan Soto ended his on-base streak with that one game. I can't remember the situation.
He
got doubled up.
Well, he didn't get doubled up. It was a pop fly that fell in right field, and Soto got forced out at second base.
Ended his on-base streak.
So that ended his on-base streak because it was not called a hit. It was called a fielder's choice instead.
You know what I like about Xander Bogaerts, too, is that he's not afraid to say what we're all thinking, because it's kind of taboo for someone to say, like, last year, you know, I was kind of thinking, is this going to happen like last year?
Yeah.
But I appreciate him saying that because it gives a little insight to this team. I feel like they're in a completely different mindset this year than they were last year. It just has a different feel to it.
I hope you're right. We'll see. It's two games that have been really, really good. And that's all. That's all it really is, but we're going to try to overreact a little bit.
Yeah. Dominic on the chat
says, enjoy.
Ladie smacked in the face, jump ball possession to UConn.
I'd love to blame the refs for what's going on here, but can't blame the refs for 18 offensive rebounds.
That's a lot.
Every shot they miss, they just get it again.
And they're just tapping it to themselves.
And then they shoot and they miss and they get it again. And then they shoot and they hit a three.
Yeah.
And you're like, what can you do?
Worst case scenario.
There's two things that are killing the Aztecs in this game. The one thing that's killing them is that UConn is just better than they are. But the two statistics that are killing them are the offensive rebounding and the Aztecs' three-point shooting. 3 for 15. Not stand a game like that to have any hope. They needed one of their, and I know everybody was saying, could they get 13? They didn't need 13. They needed to shoot, you know, like around 45%, you know, 8 for 17, one of those games. But 3 for 15, you got no chance.
No chance.
No chance.
All right, let's get to the Daily Gambit. You ready, Chris?
Sure.
Okay, what do you have? You feel it? You sound like you have something.
No.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I feel like I've seen 10 fouls against the Aztecs not called, but I'm not going to go there, like Chris just said.
It's not going to the refs can't save them.
You're right.
In this game.
You're right. San Diego State in Connecticut, we said yesterday, UConn was an 11-point favorite in this game. Obviously, the game's still ongoing. They're up by 18. Right now, I guess the spread doesn't look too good right now for the Aztecs.
They're trying. I mean, what can you say? They're trying. Yeah. They're not playing horrible. They're playing with a lot of heart and guts, but they're up against a better team.
Yes, they are.
At the moment.
Ladie, we made a bet on over under 20 and a half points. How many points does he have right now, Chris?
He has 19.
Okay, so he's
got a pretty
good
chance to get there. Let me look official. I got the box score right here.
Okay.
I got him with 17.
All right,
I thought he had 17 before, and he made a basket just a little while ago. Let me refresh the screen.
You're going to refresh.
Still got 17.
All right.
So he needs a couple more baskets. Needs a couple more baskets to get to the number.
Clemson in Arizona. For some reason, I didn't write down the spread on this one.
7.5. That's going to be.
We all took Arizona.
And we're all wrong. Clemson's up by 3. They have the ball. 2:23 to go. Clemson has outplayed Arizona this entire game.
If you could be like an Arizona fan and have to watch your team play terribly for the entire game and lose.
You know, they're lucky that they're even this close. Clemson has been getting offensive rebounds like UConn, and Arizona's shooting awful.
Yes.
Like, all I've seen them do is throw up bricks. So it's closer than I think it should be. Clemson just hit two free throws to go five. 2:23 left there.
We also made a bet on the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Lakers were 4.5-point favorites in this one. You chose the Grizzlies. I chose the Lakers. And the Lakers won by 12, 136-124. Oklahoma City Thunder were 4.5-point favorites over the Houston Rockets. You chose Houston, Chris. And Tony and I both chose OKC. And Houston won the game, 132-126. I think that was their 10th win in a row.
10th win in a row in overtime. They stayed a game back of Golden State for the final playoff spot in the West. Houston's putting some pressure on the Dubs, as they're called.
We'll get to the Warriors in just a second because I want to get your opinion. Padres and Giants today, total score over under 7.5 runs. Chris and Tony said under. I said over.
You
and
went
they
over,
ended up
huh?
having 10.
Good for you, yeah. Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a pitcher's duel all the way, but the late innings it turned.
All right, we don't have any bets today because...
I got a couple.
Oh, you do?
I got a couple. There's some college basketball tomorrow.
All right.
Before we... there's the two games later tonight.
Okay, let's do it.
We can bet on. UConn by 15 still. Oh, my God.
They keep getting offensive rebounds.
They just got three more in the time that it took me to say that.
Here comes a three from the corner, and of course they drain it.
Yeah, that's the story of the game.
That is the story of the game.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they miss. The Aztecs get the stop, but they can't ever get the rebound.
Oh, man, I felt so good about this in the first half.
It's just not that they kind of aren't getting the rebound. They never get the rebound.
They never have gotten the rebound.
It's unbelievable.
Tonight. It is unbelievable.
All right. Clemson, 1 minute left. They're in a timeout. Clemson leads Arizona 70-67. So that's coming to the wire. Later tonight, North Carolina 4.5 over Alabama.
North Carolina 4.5 over Alabama.
Yeah, what do you think here?
I'm going to go North Carolina. I picked against them last time.
This is a tough one for me.
You love Nate Oates, though.
I hate Nate Oates.
I know.
But I don't really like North Carolina any more than I like him. So, take North Carolina just because I don't like Nate Oates. But I think Alabama's got a puncher's chance in that game.
Well, yeah. They score the most points of any team in the country. And what's your next game?
Iowa State's 1.5 over Illinois. The winner of that will get UConn.
-1.5.
So, good luck. Just got another offensive rebound, by the way.
I'm going to say Brock Purdy's Iowa State Cyclones.
I'm going to say Illinois.
All right.
I don't have any reason why. I'm kind of heartbroken right now.
I know.
That the Aztecs are going to be out of it.
They're falling apart right now.
They're not falling apart.
Okay, yes. That was a little
That's
bit of an
That's not fair.
You're right.
They're just getting overwhelmed on the glass. I've never quite seen anything like it.
They do have quite a few offensive rebounds.
22 now.
22 offensive rebounds.
Oh, they get two every possession.
They do. And then they shoot, then they throw it to the corner and they
And then they hit a three. You can't defend that.
You can't defend that.
No. Do you actually have to get the rebound?
Yeah.
And women's tomorrow, Notre Dame 3 over Oregon State.
Notre Dame.
That's a 2 3. Seed versus a 3 seed. Notre Dame's the 2, Oregon State's the 3. Notre Dame's favored by 3. Good luck.
I'm going to go Oregon State.
West Coast?
Yeah.
Oregon State's pretty good. Notre Dame's got a young freshman. I love when they say young freshman. Freshman
Aria.
Normally are not old.
That's
so
true.
You're kind of just...
Unless you're Chris Winkie or something.
Right. But she's really good. I'll take Notre Dame.
All right.
And her. And then the other morning game tomorrow, day game in the women's bracket, South Carolina, the number one undefeated seed, 15.5 over Indiana. Indiana's a 4 seed. Indiana's good from what I've seen, but
South Carolina
has just been unstoppable.
I'm going South Carolina.
You're going to give 15.5 points?
Yeah, I know. It's a lot, but what are you going to do?
South Carolina. Of course.
All right.
That's all I got.
All right. That's it for the Daily Gambit. We are going to head to break. When we get back, we're still talking Padres. We're still talking Aztecs. So if you want to give us a call about today's opening day win, you can. 833-288-0973. We're kind of in like a hybrid Gwynn and Chris slash Scraby Chronicles
right now. Yeah, we're staying late and, you know, we're watching these games, and I'm sure every decent sports fan is watching these games too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird time to be on the radio. Maybe if you're in the car, we're trying to keep you up to date. Arizona down by 5, just hit a 3. And, I mean, they desperately needed it. 49 seconds to go. Clemson 72, Arizona 70. So that one, you know, is going to finish, be exciting. The Aztecs, it's been so frustrating, I can't even begin to tell you.
They still have 8 minutes and 26 seconds to hit some threes and come back, Chris.
They got to outscore them 19 to nothing.
That's a good number for us, Chris. 19? That's a great number for us.
Well, in order to score 19 straight points, they're going to need at least one rebound at some point in the proceedings.
Someone just called us the Skrello After Hour Show.
That's something like what we got going on.
All right, so when we get back, we're going to tell you about Cal State San Marcos and what happened last night in the Final Four of the Division II.
I watched that game.
I watched the end of it, too. And we will also talk about something that happened in the Warriors game last night. And I think, Chris, Steph Curry is over it. I think he's done with what happened. So we'll talk about it when we get back here. 97.3 The Fan, first, your traffic report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here in the Skrello show, the Skrello After Hour show, the Scrabiello show. That's, I didn't put my name first, Chris. That was a listener, okay? It wasn't me, it was Dominic.
L-O-Raby doesn't sound really that good.
L-O-Raby does not sound great. You're right. We're back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. Padres win today 6-4 over the Giants. They end up winning late in the game, and things were very fun down today at Petco Park. Aztecs, unfortunately, the basketball team is not playing as well. Last time I looked, Chris, like 30 seconds ago, they were down 21.
And it's getting worse. The rebounding story is ridiculous. You would just think that if you stood on the floor and didn't box anybody out, the ball would bounce to you more than what's happened in this game.
Yeah.
The rebounding is 50-24.
I don't understand.
In favor
it.
Of UConn. It is unbelievable. They get every rebound. They have 21 offensive rebounds.
Chris and isn't joking, by the way.
I'm not joking. They shoot. UConn gets 3 shots every possession in this game. And the Aztecs are finally just getting dispirited now. 5 minutes to go at 68-45. Yeah. UConn they are a juggernaut. It is going to take something unbelievable from somebody to beat them based on what I've seen tonight.
I mean, the big guy, all he does is just stand under the hoop and tap it to other people out for 3 or something.
It'll be interesting to see what, if they end up playing Purdue, and that's the only way that could happen is in the final.
That would be
interesting. But I would be interested to see if Zach Edey could compete against this guy, because this guy is monstrous. And,
UConn just literally making everything at this point.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, it's over. Clemson is moving on to the Elite Eight. They beat Arizona 77-72. I don't like to pick on a kid, but at least I can take solace in the fact that Keyshawn Johnson isn't going any further in the tournament than the Aztecs are.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, he chose to take the bag of money. I can't tell him he shouldn't have done that, you know? that's a lot of money
that
they offered him. And I don't blame him. He needed, you know, he wanted it. His family needed it. That's for him to decide and to take. So he chose Arizona. They're not going any further than the Aztecs went. Clemson really, you know, I thought controlled the whole game. I didn't watch it as closely because I was watching the Aztecs and trying to do our show. But Arizona shot 17% from three. They were miserable. And Clemson, you know, dominated the game. At least I thought they did.
Yeah,
I mean, they only won by
five. Yeah.
Which I guess says something about how good Arizona is. But Clemson led start to finish. I think Arizona had a one-point lead for like 2 seconds in the second half. And then Clemson went back ahead. And Clemson, which finished third. No, I take it back. Clemson, which finished sixth in the ACC.
So random.
Is now into the Elite Eight. And they'll take on either, well, they might play North Carolina in their own conference in the Elite Eight. Or they'll play Alabama. But Clemson has only been to the Elite Eight one other time in history. So congratulations to the Tigers.
Can't remember them ever being a basketball school.
No. And my wife picked them to win it all in her bracket. And I told her to tear it up and do it again.
Are you feeling worse and worse each round?
I'm feeling, and she's reminding me of it every time they win.
They could lose next in the Elite Eight. You're still safe.
I know.
But if
some miracle happens and Clemson goes all the way, my wife is, I will be sleeping on Tony's couch.
Tony,
and you heard
offer
him offer.
I did.
You heard him offer. Don't let him renege on that offer.
No, he will not renege
I might
on
need
that
it.
Offer.
I might end up needing it.
All right, let's talk about Cal State San Marcos, the women's Cougar basketball team. They were in the Final Four of Division II last night. They're playing Minnesota State. I just forgot the Minnesota State.
I think they were the.
It didn't fit.
It wasn't a good sound.
It didn't fit. I can't remember.
Started with an M. Mavericks.
Yes.
It wasn't a good name.
No. Why? The
Minnesota State anyway. Mavericks. No
anyway.
Good.
Anyway, it came down to the end, Chris.
It did.
Came down to like the last second.
My heart broke for Cal State San Marcos. The kids, they played a great game. I watched maybe the last 15 minutes of the game. So I watched quite a bit of it. And it was nip and tuck. The thing that impressed me about Cal State San Marcos was their little point guard. I think her name was Gallegos. I don't know what her size listed is. But on the floor, she looks no taller than 5 feet. And Minnesota State played a 94-foot trapping press zone defense. Like, the second you took it out of bounds, they had two guys run and trap you.
Yeah.
And this little point guard for Cal State San Marcos, bless her, she was dribbling in and around and under and over and through all these defenders just to get the ball into the front court. And then she hit two threes in a row and gave Cal State San Marcos a 6-point lead with like 5 minutes to go. And I thought maybe they were going to pull it off.
But unfortunately, it
did not happen for them.
70-68.
Minnesota State scored the winning basket with 1 second to play. And
literally, like, last second of the
game.
And
I'll tell you something. Cal State San Marcos did not get any love from the officials right at the end. Cal State San Marcos had the ball in a tie score, and the gal dribbled across the top of the key, and it looked like there might have been some contact. Maybe she fell down. There was no foul called. They could have called a foul for sure, but they decided not to let him play, you know, the old thing.
Yeah.
So they let him play, and then during the fight for the loose ball, they said that the Cal State San Marcos kid kicked the ball. And if she did, it was totally unintentional.
Yeah.
But they awarded the ball to Minnesota State. Minnesota State took a timeout, moved the ball to the front court, which you can do in women's basketball. 3 seconds left. They ran a beautiful inbound play. They laid it in with 1 second. And they beat Cal State San Marcos. So heartbreaking, but congratulations on a great season to the Lady Cougars up there in San Marcos.
Let me ask you this question, because after the game, Coach Renee Jimenez, which you know, said, "We're not an 8 seed. We're not a Cinderella story. We belong here."
Well,
I found this sentiment a couple times here in the tournament.
It's not a bad thing to be a Cinderella, right?
No, but you want the respect of people thinking you're, you know, a great program. You don't want people thinking you're just kind of lucked out to get there. And they certainly don't have to say that they lucked out. They beat the number one seed. Just like the Aztecs last year. And people said, well, the Aztecs got lucky. They got to play this and that and the other. They beat the best team in the tournament last year.
Yeah,
well,
they did.
They didn't, because UConn was the best team in the tournament, but they beat the number one seed, you know? So you don't have to apologize for anything if you're Cal State San Marcos, and the Aztecs don't have to apologize for anything last year or this year. They just met an absolute machine tonight.
Yes, they did.
In this UConn team.
You know, I wasn't blowing smoke when I said I believe the Aztecs could win this game. Maybe looking back, maybe I was blowing smoke, but I believed it, Chris. I think a lot of us believe that,
you know, they could just play a sensational game, but, you know, 5 of 22 now from 3, and the rebounding is, they're going to have nightmares about the rebounding.
Yes.
That's all I can say. 50 to 25 rebounding. UConn has 21 offensive rebounds. And there's just, you can't beat that. You can't beat that if the team's not better than you. Certainly can't beat it if they are better than you.
I'm not going to get depressed. I'm not going to get depressed. I'm not going to get depressed.
I don't think you can get depressed.
Padres won today, 6-4. We still got some stuff to talk about with Steph Curry and the Warriors. We still got time to hear from Mike Schilt. We still got time to talk to all of you. So give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we get back, we'll talk about the Padres, we'll talk about Steph Curry and all of that on 97.3 The Fan.
Dead a line once in...
Do you know we're on the air, right?
Huh?
You know we're on the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
you just started talking.
I know. 6:38 is the time. Now, they had a line in a Super Bowl video about Super Bowl, I want to say Super Bowl 19, Super Bowl 18, something like that. It was the year and it was before you were born, but it was the year that the Raiders massacred the then Redskins in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl the year before, and a lot of people thought they were going to win again, and the Raiders just dominated them. And I think the final score was 38-9, which for those days was really, you know, just total domination.
Yeah.
And the Redskins could do nothing right, and the Raiders could do nothing wrong. Marcus Allen ran crazy. Anyway, the Super Bowl video, there was a line at the end of it that said something to this effect. For the Redskins, it was a defeat they could not have imagined. A domination so profound that no honor could be salvaged.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that's a little harsh.
It's very harsh.
But watching the Aztecs go down to UConn, I feel like it's a loss where you have no honor.
They're down 82-50.
You're getting crushed so bad. There's no what ifs. This isn't a, well, if we could have done this, if only that had happened, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing. They met a superior foe.
Do you have the box score open? What was the second half scoring like?
42-19.
There you go.
The Aztecs have guys in the game I've never even seen play before right now.
Someone just took a shot and...
That was kind of an air ball.
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh on the radio. But
yeah, they're going down in flames.
All right, let's check traffic. And then
I didn't want to lose by 30, but they're going to lose by 30.
32.
Unfortunately,
32.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, UConn's just going to dribble out the clock. Oh no, they gave the ball to the Aztecs, and the Aztecs threw it away.
Here's some traffic, and then we're going to get to your YouTube chats on the other side. All right, 10 seconds left in the game, and then our misery is over, Chris.
Yeah.
Your misery is over.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's get to these YouTube chats. And the first one's from Kobayashi. And I really, not the Kobayashi, but I really feel this one. And it says, the Xander single for the lead after the Giants equalized was the reality that this is 2024, forcing out the dread of 2023. And we're talking Padres, because today's game felt much different than the games did last year by a lot. by a lot. And I even felt the energy in the stadium was different. And I know I'm saying that because last year was such a hard year to get through. But I did. I felt excitement. I felt the fans today. And it was awesome.
I'm trying to look back to last year.
Well, they lost to the Rockies on opening night.
They lost the first two to the Rockies.
Yeah.
And then they came back and they won the next two. I don't have their schedule in front of me. And honestly, I'm in no mood to look for it right now. I'm just like kind of down
schedule?
And out.
Last year's?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they never had an exciting win. I mean, early in the season, they had Kim and David Dahl had, you know, back-to-back home runs to walk off a win. So, you know, this enthusiasm right now, it's not misplaced, but we're going to need to see, you know, a whole lot more.
Yes, we will.
Before we can start celebrating the NL West championship.
I agree with you, Chris, but we are going to do this today, because it was awesome to see it. And you know what? They did a lot of great Peter Seidler stuff before the game as well. There was a moment of silence, like you said, the Peter Seidler emblem in the middle of the field. Now, I actually watched them touching that up. It's very interesting, Chris, and I think you know how they do it, but do you know how they make the grass look like something?
I don't.
They press it the opposite direction so that it's a different... Like it goes a different grain or different
right.
way.
So a different grain shows.
Yeah. So that.
But doesn't that get messed up during the game when people run on it?
I was watching that too. It didn't.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
You're telling me that they just mow the grass in a different direction. I get that.
Yeah.
For the original look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there's a, you know, a gardener out there, a groundskeeper can text us and tell us, but how does it not change as soon as Jackson Merrill runs right through it when he goes out to center field?
It's a fantastic point. Lots of plays on that one, on the logo, but so that was fun. The Beef, talking about the Aztecs, sad SDSU played arguably their worst game tonight. All the things they normally do right, they did terribly. Still a good season, all things considered, but thought they would at least be competitive.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I don't think they played that bad. I think UConn made them look that bad. I mean, you watched it, Scraby. The damn ball bounced into their hands on every rebound.
Even I was screaming.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Even I was screaming at the TV because it was like that. And it was every single time. Three chances at a basket for UConn, and then the third chance always goes in, and it was a three.
Yeah, the Aztecs shot 5 of 22 from the arc. That's 23%. That's not good, but they did that often this year. That's how they lost. They lost 11 games. You know, this wasn't, you know, last year's team.
No.
And we said it many times. They played, you know, over the moon against Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And they played like they normally play to me against UAB and were able to squeak that out. And they played about like that tonight. But they just played. This team, I don't know if UConn's going to... Nobody's come within 15 points of them now in 9 straight tournament games. That's ridiculous. This is the NCAA tournament. This is the best of the best. No one's been within 15 points. Not 10. 15.
That's wild.
And they beat the Aztecs, you know, by 30 tonight. I can't feel that bad.
I felt like it was going to be a tough game once we started seeing Jaden Ladeed settle for jump shots instead of trying to get down low. But it was impossible for him to get the ball down low because the guy who's 7'2" was just
taking up
blocking
all the space.
It away or just like tapping it to someone else.
Ladeed finished with 18.
Oh, no, and he didn't even make the over-under. Nobody send him a bad note, please. Next
18
one.
And 8 for Ladeed.
Anthony says it all, Chris. UConn is a freaking beast.
Yeah.
There you
they
go.
Are. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen. You'd like to believe that they're going to get a challenge from somebody, whether it's Illinois or Iowa State in the next game, or whether it's somebody in the Final Four and the champ. You know, it's hard to just sit here and watch this game and go, well, they're going to win every game by 30. But they sure look like they're going to win every game by 30.
They sure do.
Based on what I saw tonight.
They sure do. Michael, who plays Chris vs. the Fans quite often, says, he's been waiting all game for my wings to finish cooking. Timer just went off. Got to enjoy last few minutes of the season with the wings. So good for you, Michael.
Yeah, that's funny.
Next one is from M. McKee
23. You know what you do in a situation like that, Michael, next time?
What?
I, you know, put the game on and then hit pause. And then, well, you know, your
wings
will cook.
We're talking to the King DVR guy.
Yes, pit pause and go finish your your wings. And, you know, when they're ready, come back, sit down and watch the game. You
That's
know, you don't
idea.
Have to. You don't have to let the game run out while you're waiting for your wings.
That's a good idea.
You can always hit pause.
I think he probably just at this point is enjoying the wings without the
Aztecs. I think he is
game.
At this point. Yes.
Emma Key 23 said, "Oh, Scraby is fancy today with that shirt. I am wearing quite a fancy shirt for me, at least. I went to opening day. It's a button up, Chris. It's
what?
Chris didn't even notice, but yes, I'm wearing.
You know, isn't that terrible? I don't notice anything.
Don't
like
worry
that.
About it, Chris, because I don't notice that stuff either. But
I notice
tell
any
you.
Of that stuff. It's like shoes."
Yeah.
Tony's always like, look at those shoes, like Fernando's shoes today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd have never seen that, but they did a thing on it on TV, so that's why I noticed it.
It was all over social media, too.
It was great. He
it
had
was.
A nice tribute to Peter Seidler on his shoes, and I give Bob Scanlon and the crew credit for pointing that out on the telecast, because I never noticed. Now, Tony knows what everybody's shoes are.
Yeah.
I think when Tony looks, when Tony sees somebody,
oh,
he looks at their face, shakes their hand, smiles, and then looks at their shoes.
Probably.
It's unbelievable. It's uncanny. He knows what everybody wears every day.
So I had someone buying me Jordans, and it was like a gift for working with them. And I know Tony's the shoe expert, so I got Tony's opinion.
Right.
And sometimes I should have just done it on my own, because Tony had so much great information, but it was a lot of information. He knows, like, when the shoes were worn, what player wore those shoes. I showed him these Deion Sanders shoes from when he played with the Niners, not thinking he was going to know, and he named off what they're called and when he wore them. Oh, yeah, I think he wore them on the road. I'm like, what? On the road? This was 1994.
Yeah.
But anyway, last thing about the shirt. This shirt is one that I had in my closet, and I've said this about SD Fat Loss before. Had in my closet, had the tag on it, couldn't ever wear it because it was too tight, and now because of SD Fat Loss, my 40 pounds down, I'm able to put it on today.
It looks good on you. I will say that.
Thank you.
That I know your shirt looks good on you, but I didn't notice that it was like out of character for you to be wearing a button down rather than your
black shirt,
your Orca Nike t-shirt jumping up through
the whale shirt out of this.
The whale shirt.
I haven't worn the whale shirt in a
you
while.
You don't even wear the whale shirt anymore. You're too skinny for the whale shirt these days.
Okay, one
That's
more
very good.
Or a couple more chats. Brandon says, Scraby, you know I love you, buddy, but you're not allowed at any more games if your tweet is correct that they played better when you left. It's true, Brandon.
Yeah, I told you, if you're going to be there and they struggle, you're going to have to just get ready to jump in your car and drive around town until things turn around. What? Just, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
What?
Well, on my ESPN feed, it said Pirates and Marlins finished in a 5-5 tie today. And I just know that can't be because this is not spring training anymore.
Yes.
So I just looked it up. The Pirates won 6-5. Good on the Pirates.
One last one, and it's from Boogie. The team, Padres, noticeably had a different mindset today. And I kind of agree with that. It just felt different. We've already talked about that.
All right. Well, I just want to say I'm taking receipts on everybody claiming through three games and two wins that this season is going to be completely different. Because if they lose, you know, two in a row, and you guys start complaining about this team, I'm going to remind you that you were sold after this Giants game today. It's a little early to be sold.
I'm sold.
Honestly.
I'm sold.
I know you are. I'm going to be keeping receipts.
Okay, that's fine. Gio says, if UConn didn't hit that three before the half to make it a 9-point game, then maybe the boys would have come out stronger. Possibly.
Yeah, they would have lost by 27 instead of 30.
Alex says, imagine if we had the players we did last year while a D averaging 21 might have been able to pull it off.
Yeah. Last year's team was better than this year's team. I don't think there's any question about it. And that's okay. I said when they went to the, you know, the final thing last year, I said, if they come back next year and do something, it's going to be amazing. They lost Matt Bradley. They lost Adam Seiko. They lost
Mensah.
Mensah and a rope and Keyshawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a starting five that would win a lot of games. Lost to all of that, and they got back to the Sweet 16. That is an unbelievably successful season.
That's program growth right there.
tonight can't take that away. Tonight is disappointing, and it hurts to just get beat like that. Enjoy 1 minute of that game tonight.
I was sitting next to Ben Higgins at the game today, and we were talking about tonight's game, and he said, I just really hope that they don't get beat by 30.
Yeah, well.
They got beat by 30.
Thanks, Ben.
You put it out there, Ben.
Oh. Yeah, they could play that game 20 times, and I really don't know that the Aztecs would beat them once.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a knock on the Aztecs. I just think that's how good that Connecticut team looked. Man, they looked good.
They did. If you want to give us a call about the Padres, we are here for you. We stayed extra late for you to talk Aztecs, to talk Padres. Give us a call, 833-288-0973. Tell us if you're sold on this team or not and why you're sold. And if you're not sold, tell us why you're not sold. Just come and
here's the thing.
chat with us.
Here's the thing. You shouldn't be sold. You just shouldn't.
Okay.
It's a little too early to be sold. They played two really good games in a row. They've hit four 415 batting average with runners in scoring position so far.
It's amazing.
It's amazing for
it
them.
Is. It's amazing, Chris.
I know, but it's a little too early to be.
I get it, but we never saw anything like this last year. From the beginning. From the beginning.
All right. No, I'm glad you're. I think you're just.
Should I say it again? From the beginning.
All right, now you're going to make me look at last year's beginning.
Okay.
So I can just compare.
Please do.
A little bit.
All right, I will keep.
We said they lost first two games to the Rockies. They won three in a row after that. They were 6-4. And when they were 6-4, they had just finished taking three straight games in Atlanta. Over the Braves.
I do remember.
Including a 10-2 demolition in the Sunday game.
Yes, it was Sunday Night Baseball, and I think Nelson Cruz had like a great game.
I have a feeling that Monday, April 10th.
Dang it, Chris.
I have a feeling. I don't know. You may have to go back to the tape. Is there any way you can go back to the tape?
Not from last year.
From not last year? But I have a feeling that Monday, April 10th last year, when the Padres were 6-4 and had just taken three straight on the road from the vaunted Braves and just pummeled them in the final game 10-2, I just have a sneaky feeling that a lot of people were feeling pretty good about things.
Actually, we can go back. I can't play it. I don't think I could play it on the air because it's got special codes in it.
Oh.
But I
gotta believe that we came on that day feeling our oats.
You know, I'm gonna go look for that in the break.
That would be hilarious.
I'm also going. We're gonna hear from Mike Schilt and his post game sound, and we still got some more stuff to talk about. We still have to talk about Steph Curry because I really do want to get Chris's opinion on it because I think he's over it. And the Aztecs, unfortunately, have fallen to UConn if you're just tuning in right now. Just getting off work or something. 82-52 was the final score.
You didn't miss anything.
Beat Arizona.
You didn't miss anything. Clemson beat Arizona. Alabama and North Carolina just tipped off. We'll be here another hour just because we told the boss we would be. So join us if you'd like to.
Just play music or something?
No, you're going to go look up what we said on last April 10th.
What was April 10th? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. And then we'll hear from Mike's show when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. All right, 10 seconds left in the game, and then our misery is over, Chris.
Yeah.
Your misery is over.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's get to these YouTube chats. And the first one's from Kobayashi. And I really, not the Kobayashi, but I really feel this one. And it says, the Xander single for the lead after the Giants equalized was the reality that this is 2024, forcing out the dread of 2023. And we're talking Padres because today's game felt much different than the games did last year by a lot. And I even felt the energy in the stadium was different. And I know I'm saying that because last year was such a hard year to get through, but I did. I felt excitement. I felt the fans today, and it was awesome.
I'm trying to look back to last year.
Well, they lost to the Rockies on opening night.
They lost the first two to the Rockies.
Yeah.
And then they came back and they won the next two. I don't have their schedule in front of me, and honestly, I'm in no mood to look for it right now. I'm just like kind of down and out.
Last year's?
Yeah. I mean, It's not like they never had an exciting win. I mean, early in the season, they had Kim and David Dahl had, you know, back-to-back home runs to walk off a win. So, you know, this enthusiasm right now, it's not misplaced, but we're going to need to see, you know, a whole lot more.
Yes, we will.
Before we can start celebrating the NL West championship.
I agree with you, Chris, but we are going to do this today, because it was awesome to see it. And you know what? They did a lot of great Peter Seidler stuff before the game as well. There was a moment of silence, like you said, the Peter Seidler emblem in the middle of the field. Now, I actually watched them touching that up. It's very interesting, Chris, and I think you know how they do it, but do you know how they make the grass look like something?
I don't.
They press it the opposite direction so that it's a different, like, it goes a different grain or different
right.
way.
So a different grain shows?
Yeah, so that
But doesn't that get messed up during the game when people run on it?
I was watching that, too. It didn't. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
You're telling me that they just mow the grass in a different direction. I get that.
Yeah.
For the original look.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there's a, you know, a gardener out there, a groundskeeper can text us and tell us, but how does it not change as soon as Jackson Merrill runs right through it when he goes out to center field.
It's a fantastic point. He made lots of plays on that one, on the logo, but so that was fun. The beef, talking about the Aztecs, sad SDSU played arguably their worst game tonight. All the things they normally do right, they did terribly. Still a good season, all things considered, but thought they would at least be competitive.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I don't think they played that bad. I think UConn made them look that bad. I mean, you watched it, Scraby. The damn ball bounced into their hands on every rebound.
Even I was screaming.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Even I was screaming at the TV because it was like that. And it was every single time. Three chances at a basket for UConn, and then the third chance always goes in, and it was a three.
The Aztecs shot 5 of 22 from the arc. That's 23%. That's not good, but they did that often this year. That's how they lost. They lost 11 games. You know, this wasn't, you know, last year's team.
No.
And we said it many times. They played, you know, over the moon against Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And they played like they normally play to me against UAB and were able to squeak that out. And they played about like that tonight. But they just played. This team, I don't know if UConn's going to... Nobody's come within 15 points of them now in 9 straight tournament games. That's ridiculous. This is the NCAA tournament. This is the best of the best. No one's been within 15 points, not 10, 15.
That's wild.
And they beat the Aztecs, you know, by 30 tonight. I can't feel that bad.
I felt like it was going to be a tough game once we started seeing Jaden Ledeen settle for jump shots instead of trying to get down low. But it was impossible for him to get the ball down low because the guy who's 7'2" was just
taking up all the space.
Blocking it away or just like tapping it to someone else.
Ledeen finished with 18.
And he didn't even make the over-under. Nobody send him a bad note, please. Next
18
one.
And 8 for Ledeen.
Anthony says it all, Chris. UConn is a freaking beast.
Yeah. They are. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen. You'd like to believe that they're going to get a challenge from somebody, whether it's Illinois or Iowa State in the next game, or whether it's somebody in the Final Four and the champ. You know, it's hard to just sit here and watch this game and go, well, they're going to win every game by 30. But they sure look like they're going to win every game by 30.
They sure do.
Based on what I saw tonight.
They sure do. Michael, who plays Chris versus the fans quite often, says, he's been waiting all game for my wings to finish cooking. Timer just went off. Got to enjoy last few minutes of the season with the wings. So good for you, Michael.
Yeah, that's funny.
Next one is from M. McKee 23.
You know what you do in a situation like that, Michael, next time?
What?
Put the game on and then hit pause. And then, wings will cook.
We're talking to the King DVR guy.
Yes, pit pause and go finish your wings. And, you know, when they're ready, come back, sit down and watch the game. You don't have to let the game run out while you're waiting for your wings.
That's a good idea.
You can always hit pause.
I think he probably
just at this point is enjoying the wings without the Aztecs
game. I think he is
game.
At this point, yes.
Emma Key 23 said, oh, Scraby is fancy today with that shirt. I am wearing quite a fancy shirt, for me at least. I went to opening day. It's a button-up, Chris. It's Chris didn't even notice, but yes, I'm wearing
it. You know, isn't that terrible? I don't notice anything
don't
like
worry
that.
About it, Chris, because I don't notice that stuff either, but
I don't notice
tell
any
you.
Of that stuff. It's like shoes. Yeah. Tony's always like, look at those shoes, like Fernando's shoes today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd have never seen that, but they did a thing on it on TV, so that's why I noticed it.
It was all over social media, too.
It was great. He had a nice tribute to Peter Seidler on his shoes, and I give Bob Scanlon and the crew credit for pointing that out on the telecast, because I never noticed. Now, Tony knows what everybody's shoes are.
Yeah.
I think when Tony looks, when Tony sees somebody, he looks at their face, shakes their hand, smiles, and then looks at their shoes.
Probably.
It's unbelievable. It's uncanny. He knows what everybody wears every day.
So I had someone buying me Jordans, and it was like a gift for working with them. And I know Tony's the shoe expert, so I got Tony's opinion.
Right.
And sometimes I should have just done it on my own, because Tony had so much great information, but it was a lot of information. He knows, like, when the shoes were worn, what player wore those shoes. I showed him these Deion Sanders shoes from when he played with the Niners, not thinking he was going to know, and he named off what they're called and when he wore them. Oh, yeah, I think he wore them on the road. I'm like, what? On the road? This was 1994.
Yeah.
But anyway, last thing about the shirt. This shirt is one that I had in my closet, and I've said this about SD Fat Loss before. Had in my closet, had the tag on it, couldn't ever wear it because it was too tight, and now because of SD Fat Loss and my 40 pounds down, I'm able to put it on today.
It looks good on you. I will say that.
Thank you.
That I know your shirt looks good on you, but I didn't notice that it was like out of character for you to be wearing a button down rather than your
black shirt,
your Orca Nike t-shirt jumping up through
the whale shirt out of this.
The whale shirt.
I haven't worn the whale shirt in a while.
You don't even wear the whale shirt anymore. You're too skinny for the whale shirt these days.
Okay, one more or a couple more chats. Brandon says, Scraby, you know I love you, buddy, but you're not allowed at any more games if your tweet is correct that they played better when you left. It's true, Brandon.
Yeah, I told you, if you're going to be there and they struggle, you're going to have to just get ready to jump in your car and drive around town until things turn around. What? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
What?
Well, on my ESPN feed, it said Pirates and Marlins finished in a 5-5 tie today. And I just know that can't be because this is not spring training anymore.
Yes.
So I just looked it up. The Pirates won 6-5. Good on the Pirates.
One last one, and it's from Boogie. The team, Padres, noticeably had a different mindset today. And I kind of agree with that. It just felt different. We've already talked about that.
All right. Well, I just want to say I'm taking receipts on everybody claiming through three games and two wins that this season is going to be completely different. Because if they lose, you know, two in a row, and you guys start complaining about this team, I'm going to remind you that you were sold after this Giants game today. It's a little early to be sold.
I'm sold.
Honestly.
I'm sold.
I know you are. I'm going to be keeping receipts.
Okay, that's fine. Gio says, if UConn didn't hit that three before the half to make it a 9-point game, then maybe the boys would have come out stronger. Possibly.
Yeah, they would have lost by 27 instead of 30.
Alex says, imagine if we had the players we did last year while a D averaging 21 might have been able to pull it off.
Yeah, last year's team was better than this year's team. I don't think there's any question about it, and that's okay. I said when they went to the, you know, the final thing last year, I said if they come back next year and do something, it's going to be amazing. They lost Matt Bradley. They lost Adam Seiko. They lost
Mensah.
Mensah and a rope and Keyshawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a starting five that would win a lot of games. Lost to all of that, and they got back to the Sweet 16. That is an unbelievably successful season.
That's program growth right there.
Tonight can't take that away. Tonight is disappointing, and it hurts to just get beat like that. Did not enjoy 1 minute of that game tonight.
I was sitting next to Ben Higgins at the game today, and we were talking about tonight's game, and he said, I just really hope that they don't get beat by 30.
Yeah, well.
They got beat by 30.
Thanks, Ben.
You put it out there, Ben.
Oh. Yeah, there was, they could play that game 20 times, and I really don't know that the Aztecs would beat them once.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a knock on the Aztecs. I just think that's how good that Connecticut team looked. Man, they looked good.
They did. If you want to give us a call about the Padres, we are here for you. We stayed extra late for you to talk Aztecs, to talk Padres. Give us a call, 833-288-0973. Tell us if you're sold on this team or not and why you're sold. And if you're not sold, tell us why you're not sold. Just come and
here's the thing.
Chat
you,
with us.
Here's the thing. You shouldn't be sold. You just shouldn't.
Okay.
It's a little too early to be sold. They played two really good games in a row. They've hit four 415 batting average with runners in scoring position so far.
It's amazing.
It's amazing for
it
them.
Is. It's amazing, Chris.
I know, but it's a little too early to be.
I get it, but we never saw anything tickets. Like this last year. From the beginning. From the beginning.
All right. No, I'm glad you're. I think you're just.
Should I say it again? From the beginning.
All right, now you're going to make me look at last year's beginning.
Okay.
So I can just compare.
Please do.
A little bit.
All right, I will keep.
We said they lost the first two games of the Rockies. They won three in a row after that. They were 6-4, and when they were 6-4, they had just finished taking three straight games in Atlanta. Over the Braves.
I do remember that. I think,
including a 10-2 demolition in the Sunday game.
Yes, it was Sunday Night Baseball, and I think Nelson Cruz had like a great game.
I have a feeling that Monday, April 10th.
Dang it, Chris.
I have a feeling. I don't know. You may have to go back to the tape. Is there any way you can go back to the tape?
Not from last year.
From not last year? But I have a feeling that Monday, April 10th last year, when the Padres were 6-4 and had just taken three straight on the road from the vaunted Braves and just pummeled them in the final game 10-2, I just have a sneaky feeling that a lot of people were feeling pretty good about things.
Actually, we can go back. I can't play it. I don't think I could play it on the air because it's got special codes in it.
Oh.
But I
gotta believe that we came on that day feeling our oats.
You know, I'm gonna go look for that in the break.
That would be hilarious.
I'm also going. We're gonna hear from Mike Schilt and his post game sound, and we still got some more stuff to talk about. We still have to talk about Steph Curry because I really do want to get Chris's opinion on it because I think he's over it. And the Aztecs, unfortunately, have fallen to UConn if you're just tuning in right now. Just getting off work or something. 82-52 was the final score.
You didn't miss anything.
Beat Arizona.
You didn't miss anything. Clemson beat Arizona. Alabama and North Carolina just tipped off. We'll be here another hour just because we told the boss we would be. So join us if you'd like to.
Just play music or something?
No, you're going to go look up what we said on last April 10th.
What was April 10th? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. And then we'll hear from Mike Schilt when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.